Money FM 89.3, best of weekends.
With us now is Ms. Mixwary Pariyasamy, a senior librarian of rare materials at the National Library. Welcome to you. Welcome to Weekend Mornings here on Money FM.
Good morning.
So great to
have you. And how are you?
Well, we're doing very well. Thank you. And happy to have you on. And, you know, we've seen over the recent weeks a few examples of from the Stacks, this online offering that you have, and some very, very compelling content based on this amazing collection of information that you have at the National Library. Tell us about From the Stacks, this new offering.
Thank you for inviting me to talk about From the Stacks and our rare materials. From the Stacks is actually a web series initiated by the National Library to promote its rare materials collection. Mm. It was being presented by the librarians who share the stories behind the rare materials. And we also had invited guest speakers, such as the Emeritus Professor Edwin Tambu, one of Singapore's best-known pioneer poets. Mm. We also had Mr. John Teo from the Singapore Ring of the International Brotherhood. International Brotherhood of Magicians. And we also had Mr. Peter Lee, son of the late Lee Kip Lee, who was the president of the Peranakan Association of Singapore.
Nice.
And I would like to feature some three materials from the rare materials collection, which were already from the From the Stacks video. And one of the first I would like to show you is, let me lift it up. It's actually the first newspaper that was produced in Singapore in 1824. The first issue came out in 1st January 1824. It started off as, it's called the Singapore Chronicle and Commercial Register. It's quite large.
Yeah,
right? Yes, it's a newspaper. And it started off as a commercial newspaper because at that time, Singapore's trade was flourishing. So they decided to publish a newspaper that actually listed trade and shipping information as well as other business information. So here you can actually find on every issue, you can actually find import and export.
Mixwary, you could put legs on that and make a coffee table out of it.
Yeah, I just jump in, Mixwary, that if anyone's not listening or viewing, do tune in or go online to Facebook Live now, because Mixwary is going to have, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger muscles by the time she's finished holding Singapore's first newspaper. And just to stress, this is the original, I'm assuming. This is not a photocopy or...
No. What we are showing you are all originals. We never show photocopy.
Does the public have a chance, assuming we can get back into the library at some point, do we have a chance to actually go and see these in person as well in the special collections area?
Yes, you do. But let me add that because these are rare materials and they are very, very old, and due to preservation considerations, we also have to take care of them well. So they're actually stored in a special climate-controlled room where the temperature, humidity, and lighting are controlled.
Sure.
So what we do is we encourage the public and researchers to look at the surrogate copies. We have made microfilm copies and digital copies. So you can either come to the Lee Kong Chian Reference Library at level 11 to look at the microfilm copies. And if they have been digitized, you can actually look at them from the comfort of your home via Book SG, which is our online platform.
Wonderful.
Yeah, but if you really, really need to look at the physical copy, you can write to us and we will allow access on a case-by-case basis.
Can you try to hold that up just one more time, Mixwary, because we can get a look at
Mixwary, because
as best you can.
Yeah, I just want to stress, as a 20-year-plus newspaper man myself, seeing the first newspaper in Singapore, the Singapore Chronicle and Commercial Register, first newspaper in Singapore, just remarkable. Anyone on Facebook Live is watching it now. Now, this started off, I believe, as a commercial newspaper. Is that correct? That mostly focused on trade and shipping. Doesn't sound a particularly riveting read, if I'm being honest, but I'm sure in its day was absolutely vital.
It was. And unfortunately, not all the issues survived. And the National Library has hard copies of the 1833 and 1834 issues only, but not the first 1824.
I mean, it looks about, from here, it looks about half a meter high, right?
Yeah. It's about folio size.
Crazy. Yeah. What else do you have for us?
Now, I have another one that should be very interesting. And this is, I'm so sorry, I can't show it very well. This is actually one of the earliest known maps of Singapore. Mm. if you can look around here, it's actually north is facing down. If you look at normal maps, the north is up. So in this case, the north is down. So what you have here is Johor, and what you have here is the Singapore Island. And what's interesting about this map is it was drawn in 1604.
Wow.
And this is, yes, this is one of the earliest maps we have. And you can see that actually most of the maps in those periods tended to just put Singapore as just a waterway, a cape, or sometimes, you know, it's just a strait, or just as a town on Johor, you know, mainland. So here you actually have a kind of a recognizable shape of the Singapore Island. But what's interesting about this is because it was drawn in 1604, it actually has some recognizable places of names on the east coast, such as Tanjung Rhu. You have Sungai Buloh.
Wow.
And you have Tanah Merah.
Can you hold it any closer to the camera? I know we won't be able to see it very well, but maybe you can hold it just a little bit closer. Let's see if we can.
Just to let you know, this has been digitized and it's available on Book SG, so you can take a greater look. It's by Manuel de Godinho Heredia, and he was half Portuguese and half Bugis. That was in the 1500s. And he, what's important about this map, he also highlights the two key waterways around Singapore, the New Strait and Old Strait, that acted as a gateway to the very important China trade. So through this map, you know that Singapore was actually in a very strategic position in the East-West maritime trade routes.
Sure.
Wow. Yes. We're talking with Maxwari Pirasamy, the senior librarian at the National Library Board. She's holding up one of Singapore's earliest maps. Get onto Facebook Live now if you can. It was drawn in 1604, one of the first maps to reflect Singapore as a port. Now, what would have been the political context of this? Would it have been, you know, designated by the Spanish king, you say the Philip III of Spain? He would have wanted this map to see possible trading routes for the Spanish Empire. Would that have been the thinking at the time?
No, actually, this was not done for any purpose. As you know, the author was half Portuguese and half Bugis, and he was born here in Malacca, unlike other cartographers of the who drew the region. He was actually traveling to Johor to help the Portuguese in some conflict. And as he was traveling through the waterways, he saw the Singapore Island, and he decided to draw the map. Wow. But subsequently, he submitted this manuscript of this text to King Philip III of Spain in 1613.
I love the way you just cut me off dead there. You know, no, that wasn't the reason. Stop overthinking it. He just did it because he wanted to. That's great.
I love it.
He happened to be there and he drew it. He was actually describing Malacca. This book is about description of Malacca in the 17th century. So he decided to draw Singapore because he was traveling along the straits to Johor, and he saw Singapore.
Wonderful.
And it's interesting that you have the eastern place names there.
It is. I mean, Tanjung Rhu is extraordinary, 1604.
But I think there was ship building and repair going on at Tanjung Rhu.
Yes,
right?
Singapore Straits was actually a kind of busy shipping route area, trade route.
And we have a question from one of our viewers, from Junior Lau, says, why was it drawn with south up and north down? Does anyone at the National Library Board know why that was the case?
Great question, Junie.
Yeah.
Because the idea of standardizing north at the top did not come about until much later, around the 18th century or so. So in mapping tradition, we even have maps where the north is drawn on the left.
Wow.
So the mapping tradition had not been standardized with drawing north at the top.
And just
so I presume that's one of the reasons.
And out of curiosity, the language, is it Spanish? Is it Portuguese? Is there any local languages involved?
It's Portuguese.
Wonderful. Now, Maxwell, we just have a few minutes left, so let's get to the last one, because the last one is important because of actually what's happening in Singapore right now. Talk to us about what you've got.
Yeah, so this is interestingly a booklet printed in Malay, which translates the football rules, and it was printed in 1895. It was published by this Malay Muslim Recreation Club, which was one of the earliest recreation club at the time, Dar Al Adab, because football was becoming a very popular sport among the Malay youths. So, and the club decided to publish the rules in Malay so as to avoid disputes among the players.
That is magnificent. So can you bring it a little closer, right up to the camera, see what we can see here?
Let me show you this. It's a very thin booklet printed in 1895. What I'm showing you here is actually a fold-out plan of the football field with the positions of the players marked out.
Nice.
And this is in 1895.
That is extraordinary. As Glenn mentioned, it's very timely because the Singapore Premier League actually resumes tonight. And I suspect one or two of them will not follow those rules, as is often the case with footballers. That's wonderful. We've got some comments coming in. Very popular segment. Stanley C has written in to say the cartographer was travelling down from Malacca. So to him, he was travelling up. Is that the case, or is Stanley doing what I'm doing, which is overthinking it?
At the moment when he drew it, he was actually traveling to Johor.
Huh.
So
yeah,
he
was actually wrecking the waterways.
Oh, so not the case then.
Yeah.
I mean, of those three, I'm just curious, you know, it's a real tactile experience for you to hold these priceless artifacts from a Singaporean perspective. Of those three, which is a favorite of yours, and why?
Oh, my favorite would be the Iradia's map of 1604. Because it at least helps to show us a slice of Singapore history, which are not available in current history books.
Wonderful.
Yeah, because most of the time, our history book started off as 1819. And by all accounts, Raffles thought that Singapore was just a fishing village, you know, a quiet fishing village. But some of the early accounts actually show that it was contrary to that. Singapore actually had a port. Like here on this map, there is actually a Shabandria. Shabandria is a Portuguese corruption of the Malay word called Shabandar, which means harbour master's office. So the very fact there was a harbour master's office in Singapore in 1604 shows that there was an active trading port there.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah. Very interesting.
It just shows again that it did not begin in 1819. I know the British Young Moors like to insist that Singapore began in 1819, but it really didn't.
Well,
and here's further evidence of that. Wonderful stuff.
Yes, we do. Maxwell, tell us now how people can get online. Where exactly can they find this new effort that you've been doing from the stacks online so that they can see some of these things?
The past episodes are actually online at https://go.gov.sg/from the stacks. They can always go to the National Library website and go on to the National Library Board website and go on to National Library and find the episodes there.
So get down to the NLB website and just look for From the Stacks.
Yeah. From the stacks.
Or Google both those phrases and you'll get it. Yeah. Perfect.
You should also look at the online digital copies of these rare materials at BookSG as well.
Definitely. And I think a number of Singaporean footballers will be looking at those rules this evening.
Maxwell, thank you so much. Maxwell Parasamy, the Senior Librarian for Rare Materials at the National Library. Fascinating discussion.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.